You're listening to The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Stuff falls out, Roy Galair. All right, Everton have just gone 2-0 up on Chelsea in the Premier League. 73 minutes on the clock. Gylfi Sigurdsson missing a penalty but tapping home the rebound. Right, first off, Kieran O'Regan, any chance for a bridging loan? Go on, you're good for it.
Yeah. I don't know, look,
No bridging loans today.
Well, I've already given Red FM back 100 grand, so
that's a pretty big bridging loan. Let's stay away from that lest we get into legal trouble.
Yeah, come here. Where's all the Irish coming from?
Well, it's St. Patrick's Day. It's Seachtain na Gaeilge coma, so just we found our own couple of fuckler lower, Das Gaeilge.
All right, I know.
Aaron Clara Nacht. So Shinnig, Dirk, basically.
Very good. And 2-0 to Everton. Fantastic.
Yeah, well, we'll
talk about that in a second. But starting off with Gaelic Games, Cara Finn of Galway there, the All-Ireland Club Football Champions have beaten Dr. Crokes of Killarney 216 to 10 points.
That was a dominant performance today from Cara Finn, wasn't it?
Yeah, watching a lot of commentary on Twitter about it, a lot of people think they could be a Division 3, Division 2 inter-county side.
Yeah.
They're very, very solid. Yeah, they're very, very top team.
I suppose Nemo Rangers might take some solace as well. Like Nemo well beaten in last year's final, Crokes well beaten in this year's final. Just goes to show that Cara Finn are a machine, basically.
Yeah, they're real, real strong outfit. They were beaten by Dr. Crokes 2 years ago as well. So nice, something for Cara Finn to aim for going into the game today. But Crokes were down as well to 14 men early enough in this first half. Actually, John Payne, he had actually just won a free, but he kind of kicked back out at the Cara Finn player who fouled him. So the free, he lost the free and got sent off for his troubles, but a Cara Finn player was sent off as well with about 30 seconds left. Ballyhale Shamrocks of Kilkenny there, the All-Ireland Hurling Champions, they defeated St. Thomas's of Galway, another massive performance, 228 to 211. Henry Shefflin's I can't remember now how many All-Irelands he has. Is it 11? Or it's more than that, actually, as a player and manager. But it's his first year in management, and he's gone and won the county Leinster and an All-Ireland club title. So he could be the man to take over from Brian Cody.
Now he's 10 All-Irelands with Kilkenny, 3 with the club.
Okay. So
that's 13.
And 14 today.
One more 14. Yeah. Amazing.
Massive for him. Colin Fenley scored both those Ballyhale goals as well. In the Red FM Division 1 Hurling League, finished full-time result was Middleton 2-14, Killa 1-13. A four-point win for Middleton there. Although Killa led for a lot of that game, but I know Middleton getting the points, the 5 points after that. In football, Liverpool, they're back on top of the Premier League.
You sound quite happy with that one.
Well, you were quite unhappy, so I'm...
I wasn't unhappy, I wanted Fulham to win.
You were shouting at the TV.
Yeah, go on, Fulham. I'm a big Fulham fan.
They beat...
You were delighted, you were like... you're walking around with a smug grin on your face going...
I was. They beat Fulham 2 goals to 1 at Craven. Connor Sadio Mane put Liverpool in front before Fulham equalised to former Liverpool player Ryan Babel. We'll hear that report very shortly. But Milner did make amends. He was probably at fault for the penalty, but he made amends by scoring the winner for Liverpool from the penalty spot 9 minutes from. He said he wasn't feeling nervous though.
Yeah, I think obviously what's gone before, and I feel that's probably my fault. The goal was also important to put it away and made up for that. But you know, there's years of practice gone into the penalties, and in the game, you just got to go back to what you've been practicing and be calm and know what you're going to do.
Yeah. Elsewhere, Everton, as already mentioned, they're leading Chelsea at the moment. We'll hear the latest from that in a few moments. Brighton there into the FA Cup semi-finals after what seemed like a thriller in some respects, but horrific if you're a Millwall supporter.
I think the best thing to do is take the full-time report from Joe Ross, because this was an epic game.
Nothing could split the two sides after extra time. It was 2-2 after normal time. Millwall, though, were in the driving seat after going 2-0 up. Pearce and O'Brien had given them a 2-0 advantage, but Brighton pulled one back late on from LaCardia, and then Solly March's free kick with almost the last kick of the 90 took this tie into extra time. During extra time, Ferguson was sent off for the host for a stamp on Dale Stevens. Both sides had chances, but neither of them could take them, and we went into penalties. Glenn Murray hit the bar with the first penalty for Brighton, but then Romeo, his penalty was saved by Matty Ryan, and then it came down to young Jake Cooper, who needed to score to keep the Championship side in the tie. He blazed his penalty over the crossbar. It means that Brighton have booked a trip to Wembley. They're in the semi-final draw, which takes place later on this afternoon. Full time here, Millwall 2, Brighton 2. Brighton go through 5-4 on penalties.
That is the magic of the cup right there.
Yeah, it's 2 goals in 2 minutes. You'd be second if you're a Millwall supporter. Last 2 minutes of the game, then obviously extra time, and to lose that way, it'd be very hard for that young lad to kind of get his head around blazing that penalty off up into the sky. Elsewhere, Celtic are 10 points clear at the top of the Scottish Premiership. They beat Dundee 1-0, an Edward goal. 6 minutes into stoppage time there, so a very happy Neil Lennon going home there. Cork City Women's, they lost out to Wexford Youths this afternoon, 3-0, and a very cold day it was, wasn't it?
Certainly was. I was over there. We're going to hear from Ronan Collins in a little bit. Not too happy with the scheduling of the game, let's put it that way. We'll hear from him in about 10 minutes time.
Very good. In rugby, there was a massive game at Irish Independent Park today. Old rivals Prez and Christians going head-to-head, and it was CBC who won that 5-3, the full-time score in the Munster.
Yeah, certainly
Singapore
not fans. A classic, that one, but we'll have a reaction coming up from the victorious Christian teams before 7 o'clock.
Wales, they've beaten Ireland by 24 points to 5 in the Women's Six Nations Championship. Adam Griggs' side finished 5th in the table, so not a good weekend for Irish rugby against Wales, all apart from the under 20 result. Rory McIlroy, he's one shot off the lead going into the final round of the Players' Championship at Sawgrass. Spain's John Ram, he's leading on 15 under par. Tommy Fleetwood is alongside McIlroy on 14 under. And in the Women's Super League, Singleton Supervalue Brunel defeated Kilkenny's Marble City Hawks today 67-55. While in the Men's Super League, no such luck for Corkside UCC Demons. They lost out to Belfast Star 96-81.
All right, let's get the full time report from Craven Cottage for Mike Lawrence.
Fulham 1, Liverpool 2. The relegation candidates frustrated the title chasers, but were undone by a late penalty converted by substitute James Milner after Fulham keeper Rico manhandled the scorer of Liverpool's first goal, Sadio Mane. Ryan Barbel brought Fulham level after pouncing on Milner's miscue clearance with a quarter of an hour to go, but it was late heartbreak for the home fans. Fulham's 7th defeat in a row as Liverpool go top of the table. Fulham 1, Liverpool 2.
Now we have a pair of tickets to give away to the Red FM Student Race Day happening at Cork Racecourse in Mallow this coming Thursday. Tickets like this, for this are like hen's teeth. They're incredibly hard to get your hands on. If you've got tickets, if you manage to get your hands on a pair of tickets, enjoy. It's going to be a cracking day out. 7 National Hunt races, live music by Red FM DJ Colm O'Sullivan afterwards as well. The Red Patrols will be there, Cork's LFN will be there. It's going to be a great day on Thursday. Now we have a pair of tickets to give away to the Student Race Day. What we want you to do, I want you to text the word RED, followed by your name and your number and your address, please, to 086-8104-106, 086-8104-106, via text or WhatsApp. I want your name, your number, the word RED. And we also want you to tell us why Kieran and I should give you a pair of tickets to the Red FM Student Race Day.
Well, it has to be good luck.
Yeah, I mean, like, this isn't just a text entry competition. These are very, very hard tickets. We want you to work for this one a little bit. We want you to tell us why you deserve to be going to the Red FM Student Race Day on Thursday. 086-8104-106. Send in your texts and your WhatsApps, and we'll draw out the winners just before green and red at 7 o'clock tonight. You could be heading along to the Red FM Student Race Day, a Cork race course in Mallow this week. Now, a massive fundraising effort is underway to help raise money for Cork All-Ireland winner Kieran O'Connor, who was diagnosed with a rare form of bone cancer. A GoFundMe page was set up over a week ago. It surpassed the target of €250,000 in a very short space of time. Now, fundraising efforts are continuing, and there's a big walk in Ahada tomorrow as well. We will be down there. Cork's FM will be down there for that too. Now, Kieran's been speaking to former Cork footballer Graham Canty, who's involved in the fundraising committee.
You're involved in a big fundraising drive at the moment for a former partner in crime of yours on the football pitch, Kieran O'Connor from Ahada. who's obviously going through a rough patch at the moment. But just tell me a little bit about what you're doing at the moment, Graham.
Yeah, so I'm involved in a fundraising group there, a fundraising committee, chiefly organised and ran by the ATA GA group, Glow and ATA. They're well organised, they've a lot of people involved there. We have a number of events planned in the planning phase. I suppose the next big event that is coming up is on Monday, Bank Holiday Monday. So we have a 5K walk organised for Glow and ATA. Basically, it's a chance, I suppose, for people to stand in solidarity with Kieran and his family. And it's a show of support for them. A show of support for, you know, how much Kieran means to us. And an opportunity just to go there and show him and his family that that we're there for him.
Yeah, like the reaction has been something else, not just alone in Cork, but even outside of Cork and other counties and clubs up the country as well.
Yeah, it's ferocious, you know. I think Kieran and the family knew that he had support locally in ATA, both himself and Sinead, his wife, are from ATA. And I think they always knew they had good support there below. But, since we launched the fundraising initiative, the support has gone not alone just countywide, it's gone countrywide, it's gone beyond the country even. And I know that Kieran and Sinead are very appreciative of the support, both financially and emotionally.
Apart from the reaction that's been got, the it's just something about the GA community as well, Graham. Like, I was watching Laker Gale last night, and I think it was Kevin Duff or Kieran Duff was on, and they had a fundraiser for his daughter, and he was so surprised by the amount of people who got behind, even players who he wouldn't have got on well with on the pitch from Meath and stuff. They all kind of got involved. So I suppose my point is just the GA community, when something like this comes up, they really get behind it.
Yeah, I saw the Laker Gale as well. It was an excellent show, in fairness. And, you know, that's it. Like Kieran O'Connor would have been a cornerback, and, you know, as a cornerback, you're rough and ready, you're there, you take on everything, and you're not in the pitch to make friends. But support he's got from teammates, from ex-teammates, both in the GA and Cork, outside Cork, and even across sports has been phenomenal.
The target was $250,000, but it's after surpassing that, and very quickly as well.
It has, yeah. You know, I think we've been really blown away by the response. People have been very, very generous. We thought at the time that we put an optimistic target of $250,000 on it. The target is really an arbitrary target. Kieran at the moment is going through treatment, and he will for another couple of weeks, and there'll be further tests then. And we'll see then, hopefully we'll get positive results out of those tests. But that figure, to reach it in 3-4 days, was an unbelievable response from everyone.
Obviously, that's continuing. It's not just stopping now that you've surpassed that. That people can still get involved in that.
Absolutely. If people want to contribute, they can do it with their feet, I suppose, Monday, by being blown at it for a walk at 2 p.m. We're asking people to be there for 1 p.m. just to allow for traffic and everything. But if they want to financially, which would be very much welcomed as well, they can go to the GoFundMe page and search for Kieran O'Connor. And now we actually have a website live as well, friendsofkieran.com. The website friendsofkieran.com as well has everything on the website, has all the future events that will be planned and that will be executed, some live events that are going on at the moment. So all the information is there, and you'll be directed to GoFundMe page as well there, actually.
Graham, you wrote a very emotional article in one of the papers during the week. It's obviously very hard to see a friend go through what Kieran is going through.
Yeah, I suppose I was lucky. I would say that Kieran and Cork for maybe 7 or 8 years, two of us would have told her side by side. He's a great guy. You know, we had a group there. We had an awful lot of good guys. Kieran was one of the best of them. You know, like, it's tough. Kieran and Sinead have a very young family. The kids are 7, 5 and about 16 months. Baby Jane's about 16, 17 months. So it's tough, you know, but look, I suppose, off the critical fundraising group and ex-teammates and the gang going at her, you know, we do what we can do to help Kieran and Sinead through this battle.
Yeah, like you mentioned, obviously, they're obviously very happy and very appreciative of everything that's happened over the last few days and that since the GoFundMe was launched. But is it a bit surreal how this has kind of taken on its own legs for them?
It is. I know from Kieran, like Kieran has said that he's absolutely blown away. When we met with the gang Glow, and we were looking at putting a target and a figure on the GoFundMe page. Initially, we thought 250,000 would be very ambitious. But yes, around 4 or 5 days later, we had reached that 250 target, and it continues to grow, which is brilliant. And the funds are desperately needed, and the more support we can get, both emotionally and financially, the better and easier it is for Kieran and Sinead.
Yeah, you mentioned the upcoming walk. What other events are going to be happening?
Yeah, so there are a number of events, I suppose, in the planning stage at the moment. Maybe a number of them will be, I suppose, they'll be announced next week after Monday. They will all be spread out on social media, but they'll be all linked as well on the friendlykieran.com website. People have been unbelievably generous with their time and with initiatives that they're planning to do for Kieran. But I suppose early next week as well, we'll be able to announce them.
Yeah, and just lastly, Graeme, you mentioned the website there, and there's a Facebook page. What are the links for those for people to get more information if they want to get involved themselves?
Yeah, so the website is just friendsofkieran.com. Everything is there. It's kind of a good landing page for everything. You can be directed to GoFundMe page. It's also on Facebook as well. And you can also just go straight to GoFundMe if you want to contribute there as well.
Perfect. Well, look, Graeme, thanks very much for coming on the bench, and best luck with the rest of the fundraising. Hopefully that drives on even more over the next days and a few weeks.
John, thanks very much, and thanks for your time.
Yeah, they're expecting a huge crowd down in Ahada tomorrow for that fundraising walk for Kieran O'Connor. Just check the GoFundMe page. It's up to €291,000, €361,000 is the current mark. They had a goal of 250,000, and that was surpassed in 4 days. This, Kieran, I think, shows the very best of the GAA. When something like this happens to something, a member of the GAA, the GAA family rallies around, and you can see that by the outpouring of support for Kieran. The amount of money that was raised in very, very quick time, and just the amount, the outpouring of love and support that Kieran has gotten in the past week has been absolutely incredible.
Yeah, 100%. Mentioned that to Graeme. They're incredibly taken back by the support and the reception all this has got, not just in Cork, but further afield, and it's gone outside of Ireland as well. It's fantastic. Definitely shows the GAA community. As I mentioned in that piece with Graeme, there was a programme on Lake Regale that we're talking to one of the Dublin players, and he's a daughter with cerebral palsy. When she was born, they did a lot of fundraisers, but players that he wouldn't have got on very well with were the biggest people out fundraising. So it's just a thing in the GAA community. They really support their own, and it's not just GAA, it should be said. I don't think are supporting this. There's people further afield as well, from other sports, and that are supporting as well, and it's fantastic to see. And as you mentioned, there's going to be, or they're expecting, a huge crowd tomorrow down Ahada. I think they have special parking restrictions up on the Ahada Twitter account as well, so worth checking out if you're going down there. But it's fantastic to see everyone getting behind Kieran, because he was one of the best players in his period, you know.
Yeah, beautiful part of the world is Ahada as well, so get down there tomorrow. 2 o'clock is the start time for that walk. Cork's Red FM will be there, and hopefully get the weather for it as well, and sure a big crowd will turn out and raise a whole lot more money for Kieran. Alright, going to talk football now. Cork City Women's beaten in their first home game this season today. The Rebel Army went down 3-0 to Wexford Utes in Bishopstown. Now, City had tried to move the game due to player unavailability today. However, that request was turned down, which meant that City had just four players on the bench. I spoke to a very disappointed City boss, Ronan Collins, afterwards.
I suppose we're disappointed with how it's all turned out, but the girls have made a really big effort today. There was a lot against us, and I think at certain moments in the time when things went different for us, you know, we could be in a different situation here, but second half then I think the game went a bit flat, you know, and struggled really for any team to start playing, so we're disappointed.
First goal you conceded was a penalty. Your thoughts on that?
It wasn't one.
Really?
Yeah.
Hard to take, so
it's very disappointing. It's very disappointing considering the calls in the opposite box later on in that half. It's disappointing again to consider the penalty in the second half as well. So when all that adds up together, it's highly disappointing, and we expect better.
You had a couple of shouts as well for penalties in the first half.
Yeah, a couple is two. We had more than that. We're really disappointed with that, and we feel a bit let down coming into this fixture. We felt let down by, I suppose, Wexford Utes. Obviously, there was a situation where this game could be played on Friday, Saturday, and Monday, but they refused to move it, knowing that we had players at award ceremonies away with internationals. We would have asked for players to be released for the game today that were away on internationals. We were denied permission, but however, Wexford Utes were allowed permission for that. And then, obviously, what happened out on the pitch, it's very hard and it's highly unfair on the girls. You give loads of time. The people who organise, this is our first home game of the season. The club have had a huge campaign out at 16 different clubs taking sessions, and to be let down by other teams in the league, by officiating, by the league themselves, it's really disappointing. But the girls did well, hung on into the game for large periods. With two more girls make debuts today. Shauna McCarthy had a fantastic game. She played 90 minutes, and Liz O'Connor came on near the end of the game and did very well as well. So from that extent, we're really happy with the extra experience these players are gaining, and that's going to stand to us moving forward. And I suppose it swings and roundabouts, so there's a lot of luck to come our way, and hopefully positive decisions that people will be knowing that we're handling our business right, and it'd be good if others can see that and that we're given that gratitude as well.
Because you only had four players on the bench as well, which must make your planning very hard.
Yeah, we have a squad of 24 and 10 different players out. So three away at awards ceremony, we had three away at international duty, we had one doing exams, and three had injured. We also were put in a situation where we had to play players that were injured and sick again today, which is obviously a player welfare issue, but doesn't seem like much care about that. But the girls did really well today, so we're happy with the performance they put in. For, as we said, there's some more experience put into them today, into what is a very young team.
And if you have players away at an award ceremony, should that not be an immediate postponement?
Well, we made the league aware of it before the fixtures ever even came out. There's four fixtures this weekend. Three were played on Saturday. The one that was played on Sunday was featured us, the team with the most players nominated for awards. So,
is there anything you can do about that even now?
Well, we've asked the question. We were told no.
So that's kind of the end of it now, as well, is it really?
We're willing to listen on it. They told us they wouldn't mind changing the game if the opposition would agree to change. Friday, Saturday and Monday were all given options, and they refused to change because...
You offered to play in Waterford on Friday as well, didn't you?
Yeah, we offered to go quite a distance as well. We had some great support from clubs around Cork, and you know what? That's what we want. We want Cork as a county working together, and they were. There was clubs, Blarney were offering us pitches, Yall, Middleton. There's a lot of clubs that are being really, really good, and we really appreciate all the help they're giving us.
Yeah, you can hear the disappointment there in Cork City boss Ronan Collins' voice after their 3-0 defeat to Wexford Utes in Bishopstown today. Very unfair situation on them. They were forced to play today, missing a number of players who were away because of the FAI awards tonight. But disappointing for City to lose their first home game of the season. Just as an aside note today, record set for attendance at a women's fixture today. There were 60,739 fans in for Barcelona versus Atletico. Barcelona winning 2-0 today. Absolutely incredible stuff. And fingers crossed now Cork City getting back to winning ways and get their first win of the season. But disappointment today. Wexford Utes were the better team. But as you heard Ronan mention there, he didn't think it was a penalty. He had a couple of shouts for penalty themselves, turned down in the first half. They hit the bar in the first half as well. after 30 yards. Just wasn't their day, Kieran, to be perfectly honest.
But it does sound absolutely ridiculous that when you have players away at the...
Grossly unfair. I mean, like, they offered to play Wexford in Waterford on Friday night. So, like, Wexford wouldn't have to travel up to Cork. They made that offer. It was refused. They offered to play yesterday. It was refused. They have to play tomorrow. It was refused. Poor form out of Wexford. It has to be said. Look, it's a small league. You want everyone to be helping each other. It's just disappointing that has happened. You could hear a run on there, bitterly disappointed, a bit angry with it. So hopefully a situation like that doesn't arise again. But you would think if you've got players caught up to the national awards, you don't play that day. That would be logic. That would be logical.
100% that the FAI should really step in and say...
You would have thought so, but... but it's disappointment. Disappointing, it has to be said. Everton have beaten Chelsea 2-0. Richarlison and Gylfi Sigurdsson with the goals there for the Blues. Going to talk rugby now, and Christians crown Munster Senior Cup champions, beating Prez by 5-3. Not exactly a high-scoring affair at Irish Independent Park today, but I don't think Christians are going to mind their 30th Munster Senior Cup. CBC coach is Tommy Crowe. He's been speaking to Shane Dunley.
Tommy, an overwhelming, very hard victory. How do you feel?
Look, we're... local Derby Schools Cup final, we're just delighted to get across the line. We had the heartbreak of last year. We were determined to come back this year and give it another go, and we're just delighted to get across the line and the tightest of margins. So,
winning in Musgrave Park or in Irish Independent Park in Cork against old rivals Prez makes it a small bit more special.
It does. The local derby adds a little bit to it. A huge crowd and great atmosphere out there. Great day for rugby. You know, the fact that we were playing Prez, really, that didn't really make too much difference. We were very focused on the task ahead, irrespective of who we were playing, quarterfinal, semi-final or final. So we're just delighted to get one step more than we did last year.
Perfect. And Scott, all the lads inside the dressing room, overjoyed with the victory, I suppose.
Yeah, look, we were under no illusions. It was really hard fought. Credit to Prez, they really put it up to us deep into the second half. We really had to dig deep. Can't really put into words right now how happy we are, you know, just to bring home the Senior Cup after 6 long years in Christians.
A back and forward game, it was a hard fought game, very physical up front, I suppose.
Yeah, look, we knew coming here, playing Prez in a final, like, it was going to be tight margins. Had to dig deep against Crescent and then hard game against Artscoil, you know, which we won by a bit, but by far the toughest game we've played all year. Credit to Prez, they were really well coached, and look, just to get over the line is just unbelievable, you know, we're delighted.
Yeah, that's Christians captain Scott Buckley and the manager Tommy Crowe there after today's win over Prez. 5-3 was how it finished. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, going to hear from Ray Houghton, going to talk MMA before 7 o'clock as well.
The Big Red Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Roaring Kieran here with you until 7 p.m. on the Big Red Bench. Our competition tonight, we have a pair of tickets to give away to the Red FM student race. They're happening this week at Cork Race Course in Mallow. Tickets for this impossible to get hold of. We have the last pair to give away. So all we want you to do is text the word RED to 086 8104106. You can text us or WhatsApp us. We want your name, your address, please, and we want you to do a little bit of work, so you have to tell us why you deserve a pair of tickets. 086 8104106. What has been the responses like so far, Kieran?
None standing out. They're just not giving it hard enough. Like,
you think that people should be making more effort? Is it?
They need to make more effort. They want these things. These are goals. They were sold within minutes. We saw queues. Red FM had a video up of queues going back so far.
We don't want. I think I should get both parachutes because I'm great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no. Sure, like, we'll just take them if that's the case.
Right.
You know?
Because we are great.
We are, and we deserve them, but...
We want better explanations as to why you think you deserve the tickets, basically, not just, I'd like to go.
Someone needs to deserve them a small bit more, so I don't know, we'll see, I'll keep an eye on it. Actually, forgot to mention earlier on, in the National Football League, Cork still have a chance of staying up.
You're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance. Clare actually lost earlier on today to Meath. If they had won, it would have been the first time in 40 years they'd beaten Meath. So thankfully that didn't happen. So it now goes on to the last day, but they can stay in Division 2. If they beat Armagh, which isn't going to be very easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nothing game for Armagh, though, which is a good thing for Cork. And Tipperary defeat or draw with Clare. So there's a chance Cork could stay up So hopefully, fingers crossed, but it's going to be tough up in Cross McGlynn in Armagh next week. But yeah, these answers need to be good, Roar.
Yeah, they need to get a lot better, basically. Start writing your essays, folks. You've got about 20 minutes before we draw out the winner at 7 p.m. Just before 7 p.m. This evening before Alan Donovan takes over for Green on Red. All right, to Goodison Park, you go, Shane Pennington.
Everton 2, Chelsea 0. Richie Osaru's men slip up in the chase for a top four finish as a failure to take their chances in the end cost them dear. Eden Hazard hit the post and Pedro twice missed good chances before Richarlison headed Everton in front. Gylfi Sigurdsson then doubled the host's advantage, tapping home after Kepa had saved his second half penalty. Walcott could have made it 3 but was denied well by the Chelsea goalkeeper. But the win lifts Everton up to 11th. Chelsea remain 3 points outside the top four. Everton 2, Chelsea 0.
Now, as the road to UEFA Euro 2020 begins with McCarthy's side this month, the Euro 2020 National Football Exhibition is visiting Cork in the build-up to the landmark 60th UEFA European Championship Finals. The exhibition, located at St Peter's in the city, is free for all to attend. It's open to the public until Sunday, March 24th. Now, Irish footballing legend Ray Houghton spoke to Kieran about the event, the Irish side, Declan Rice, and, of course, their beloved Liverpool.
OK, Ray, you're in Cork at the moment for the jersey etc exhibition that's happening in St Peter's. I suppose, tell me a bit about it.
Well, yeah, it's the National Football Exhibition. It's an idea really through the FAI in cooperation with lots of different outlets, and it's really to showcase the European Championship. So it's the 60th year of the European Championship. We are very fortunate to have qualified 3 times, 1988, 2012 and 2016, and it's just to let people and let them have a look at what the European Championships were all about. And that's, you know, looking at old videos of old games. We're going to have old jerseys there, boots, balls signed by different international players. And I think, you know, for youngsters, you know, it would be great for them to go along and look at the history of one of the competition and where it all started for the Republic of Ireland. 1988, first time we ever qualified for a major tournament, to, you know, be part of that, to do as well as we did, you know, beating England, drawing with Russia, and then eventually losing out to Holland in the last game, 1-0. But I think if you're a sports person and you like history and you're interested in how your country got going, I think it's from great from that point of view. And just how it developed is a massive tournament. I mean, I think, you know, the last figures in 2016... globally, it was watched by billions. Yeah. You know, that is a massive, massive tournament. And in '88, when we went in Germany, don't forget, it was only one. You know, you had to win your group. It was not like, you know, modern times where you could come second or third and get through. Back then, it was that much more difficult. So you had the host nation, and then you had 7 group winners that went through. And I think in Germany in '88, we may have had the biggest attendance. When you looked at the matches, the average attendance had gone through the roof, and it just showed you how the tournament had grown from, you know, much earlier, right through from 1960 right through to 1988, and it had just grown every 4 years. You know, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the intensity grew. And even, you know, you look at what happened in 2016 and the amount of people that bought into it, it was incredible.
You mentioned that early period fondly, obviously, there. Would I be right saying maybe that might be your favourite jersey over the years? Because obviously you can see all these jerseys now in this exhibition.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, of course. Listen, your first is always your favourite in most things, isn't it? You remember it most fondly, don't you? And that's certainly the case with 1988. It was quite an iconic jersey. And it made a huge difference in Ireland when it came to soccer. Mm-hmm. You know, and you think of rural areas back in '88, they're maybe not that interested in football per se. But I think after that tournament, there was a massive turnaround, and there was so much pride in the international team. Fans wanted to be part of it. They wanted to see the team do well. They'd seen them on the TV. People were going to the airport, leaving their cars and jumping on planes, getting themselves into debt to go and watch it. And I just think the transformation in Ireland was absolutely huge, a real turning point.
It's not just jerseys at the exhibition as well. There's football boots, etc.
Yeah, there's shirts, there's boots. And the other thing that we're doing, and we're taking it around the country. We've already been in Sligo. Yes. We're in Cork, obviously, over the next few days. We're going to Limerick in June, Waterford in July, Donegal in September, and then next year in the build up to the championships itself, we're in Dundalk in February, Galway April, and back in Dublin for the tournament in June. So yeah, I think it's the right idea, and that's to showcase what the Euros means to us as a nation, and to take it around the country. It's not just Dublin, yeah. It's about everyone, it's about taking it to all areas to showcase it, and for everyone, whether you're a grandparent, child, let them go out there and view it, and hopefully there's a good turnout at St. Peter's over the next few days from the supporters to go along and have a look. It's well worth a watch.
There might be some famous boots from famous goal scorers or anything.
Well, there's also, you know, the chance to go in there and be a commentator. You know, I've seen a few doing that. Who knows who's going to be the next up-and-coming commentator. So it's a chance for them to go and do that. Have a bit of fun with it. Go and enjoy it. You know, it's something I would certainly be looking to take my grandchildren to. I think my kids might be a little too old for me to take them. They might go on their own, but certainly my grandchildren, I'd be taking them along there, because for me, as a sports person, it'd be something of interest to me.
It's obviously a family event. More information, where can people get that from? Websites and that, I suppose, the FAI website.
Yeah, the FAI website, I think that's the one to be looking at. There's also a link on the FAI website to have a look. There's an app that's coming out as well, and I think that's got to be hugely important to go on the app, and that'll give you all the information that's needed.
Looking at the app, I think there's interactive bits on that as well.
What the FAI are trying to do is to make it something for everyone to go on to look at and look forward to, because, you know, we're very lucky. You think of all the countries in Europe who would like to have been part of this, who would love to have had games in their country. We've got four. We've got three group matches in the last 16. So it's a chance for us to showcase the country. It's also a chance for us to showcase our stadium, which we're extremely proud of. And also, the revenue that will be generated. Whoever plays in Ireland, whether it's the Irish side or there's two teams that have to come here, whoever's the team that may have to play three group matches there, their support's going to be coming over. So the hotels are going to do well out of it, the airlines. You're looking at the restaurants and the pubs. And we know the Irish people. They are very welcoming. They will, anyone that comes to Dublin to come and see these games, they will be welcome with open arms, and I'm sure they're going to have a fantastic time. But we have to build it up, because it's the first time it's going to be taken around Europe. Because normally, predominantly, it's either one nation or two that hosts the Euros. This is a different idea. They're going to take it around Europe, and we've been very fortunate to be one of the countries that have been afforded the opportunity to have four games, and we've got to make the best use of it, and we have to showcase it as best we can.
Obviously we'll be able to see lots of history at the exhibition at St. Peter's, but hopefully I suppose Mick McCarthy now trying to start new history over the next year or so with his team. Ireland's chances to obviously named the other day.
He's under a bit of pressure, isn't he? Because we've qualified for the Euros on the last two occasions, 2012 and 2016. So I spoke to him about it, and I said to him, you know, you're under a bit of pressure. 2020, you've got to deliver. And he smiled about it. He's under no illusions, you know, what's required. And it's tough, you know, because there's some very good sides. But he's not been afforded any friendlies to get used to the players or come in and speak to them at any length, and maybe go through a few things in friendly matches before you get into the actual big events, which is the competitive games. He has to hit the ground running, and it starts against Gibraltar and then Georgia, which is two good games. You know, Georgia at home, you know, you'd be expected to beat them. We've had some tough games against them in the past, and I'm sure this will be another tough one, but it's the best possible start, I think. You can get two wins, 6 points, you're on course. You know, you've got the fans on side. Hopefully there'll be two decent performances as well. Most important thing is to win. You know, football's always about winning. You know, but if you can play good football as well as winning, so much the better. But obviously the style of football is going to be important, because there's a reason why Mick's been brought in, and that was where the fans became disenchanted with the football we were playing under Martin, who I thought done a great job. You know, he'd done what he was asked to do. He got us qualified for 2016, and he just missed out for the World Cup in 2018 in a playoff against Denmark. Yeah, second leg went against us. But there's a lot of sterling performances along the way. After that, obviously, the performance level dropped, the intensity dropped, and that's why Mick came in. But Mick knows. He knows why he's been brought in. He knows what's required. And, you know, he knows he's got to start with victories, and he knows he has to get the public on side.
Do you think with the team he's named, that maybe he's started a rebuilding process? A lot of young players like Padraig Amlin, now he's playing fantastic for his club at the moment, scoring goals at Flint Centre. But players like that coming into the squad, is it the start of a rebuilding? Well, Mick, there's experience there as well.
Yeah, well, Mick's got to look at all aspects of it, you know. I remember when I came into the international setup with Ireland, you know, there was a huge amount, vast amount of experience, you know, and that's what you're looking for. You're looking for lads that have been there, seen it, done it, who know what it's about playing international football, and they pass on their experiences to the younger players coming in, because you haven't got a clue. You know, you're looking around, you know what domestic football's like, but it's a massive step up when you come into international football, the pressure that you're under. You know, because you only play a few games a year, but you've got to be winning them games. And particularly back in 88, when we went into the group stage, we knew if you lost one, chances of qualifying, because only one team going through, you were out of it. Yeah. So that was a huge pressure. A little bit different today, but still with enormous pressure coming in. And if you're bringing young lads in, or lads who have not had a lot of experience in the international matches, then you need someone there who can see them through it. So you need that balance and that mixture. The squad will find its level and the changes as he goes along. But to start with, the most important thing is for him to get a balance to his squad where he's going into games and he's got to have players he can rely on who've got that experience if things are going wrong. How do I get out of it? I've got these lads, I've been there before, they know what it takes. That's why you've got the experience, and the other players have not got the experience. They can learn from them. So it'll start with people might be questioning why is he and why is that happening, but it'll work its way out as we go on, and you'll see changes along the way.
Yeah, Stephen Kenny, good appointment.
I mean Stephen's got to just bide his time, isn't he? But I think what he's doing is the right thing. I mean, going in with the under 21s, learning what international is much more difficult and different to, you know, being involved every day with your players. All of a sudden you've got to learn to be disciplined, where you get them for 3-4 days, you know, what your training regime's going to be like, what you can do with them in that space of time. Because don't forget, you've got players coming in having played for the club side, so the next day when you get them, you might not be able to train them, you know, but you've got to give them that recovery period, and then you've got to do a little bit. So you've got to learn that, you know. It's not a magic wand you come in and you go, I've got that now, because you've come from a different environment. So that for me is you know, a special skill set that's required, and he'll get that, he'll learn that. He's an intelligent lad, he's done the rounds, he's earned his right to get the opportunity as the international manager, but he's just got to bide his time now. And I think where he is at the minute, he's good for him. I think he'll learn, on the run, if you like, being the under-21 manager, and then he can make that crossover to the full squad in a knowledge that he'll know from his experience under 20 who's the players that he can promote from that age group into the senior side.
He's a big fan of the League of Ireland. He's obviously managed there for years. He's brought in 8 players, I think, into his squad. Long time ago, I used to sit in the dugout in Flankhare Park in Longford with him. He just, the health and safety, I don't think, was as big then, and supporters could sit in the dugout. But that's a long time ago now. But he's obviously a big proponent of the League of Ireland. You're not just going to pick players from the League of Ireland to pick players from the League of Ireland. They have to be good as well. But it's good, I suppose, looking forward, that he's looking ahead, that he's open to bringing in players. Because before,
Well, look, listen, you've got to look at your pool of talent and your depth of talent, where it's going to come from. And if the players aren't around and the younger group aren't there at the moment, then you've got to look at the League of Ireland players that are currently playing. Now, there might be that there's not as many youngsters going across to England or wherever to get opportunities. It might be that there's going to be staying in Ireland, and it might be best for them to do that. So you might have good, really good players here who have not made the transition. They might not be ready for it for a variety of reasons. But that's not to suggest that they're not good enough. And Stephen's keeping a good eye on them. He knows what they can do. He's a good coach. And that's part and parcel of, you know, getting the best out of players, is being able to see the ability in players and what you think they can achieve and what they can you bring to the party, and that's what Stephen will be doing.
Yeah, it's Ray Houghton there speaking to Ciarán about all things international football, and an extended version of that will be online at redfm.ie. Very nice guy though, Ciarán. I think you got on quite well with him in the end.
Yeah, very nice guy. We were speaking for a while as well after we stopped recording, just actually about refereeing and stuff.
Yeah.
Very nice guy, very easy to chat to, and we could have gone on longer, only his chicken burger came. And
and he didn't even offer you a chip. That's bad
didn't
form.
Offer me a thing, no.
Bad form.
So that was a bit disappointing, but anyway.
All right, we're going to talk MMA now in the Wimta Warrior finale taking place next Sunday night at Glen Rovers Hurling and Football Club. It's run by SGB Cork City. The event takes complete MMA novices and over a 14-week training camp gets them ready for the finale, Fight Night. And O'Brien, better known as one half of Cork production outfit Generica People, steps away from his mixing desk next week and into the cage after taking part this year. And calling to me earlier on today. PM, one of the fighters, has joined me, Ant the Destroyer O'Brien. Ant, how are you?
I'm good. The Destroyer, oh man, stop.
The last time we shared a studio together would have been back in CSN, we were trying to figure out, in 2003.
Yeah, that's the radio a long broadcasting time ago, course. Man. Jeez, that's a lifetime away, like, you know.
Yeah, it seems like a long time ago.
Young and foolish, now.
Shout out to the radio broadcasting crew in CSN. Don't take this the wrong way, but you were the last person I would ever have thought would be in an MMA fight.
Yeah, that's what everyone kind of says. And you know, personally, I thought I'd be the last person in it. It just kind of, God, I don't know. It's like I started off, as you know, we were doing a production. My company, Generic People Media, we were doing the production of the fights from the series one right through. And we did a few in the Dublin and stuff. I was always on behind the scenes, kind of, you know, looking for that. And it was kind of a buzz watching everyone and, you know, dealing, watching their process all going through. And Marlene then, because I was doing a bit of just keep fit down there, and I've a little kid as well, so he does jits for the kids down there. So I knew the lads from up and down, and Marlene was like, why don't you give it a go? You seem to be loving it. I was, no, Marlene, it's not for me, like, you know. Yeah. So this season came along, and they kind of changed a little bit. Said, like I said, first of all, the mornings wouldn't suit because my working late night, I kept coming up with excuses and stuff. And she goes, no, we're going to do a few evening classes as well. So goes, like, you have no excuses. Right, what I'll do is I'll come along for a few classes, see how it goes, and that's it. Like, I don't, Marlene, look, just, I was more of a case, I was almost, you know, don't tell her this, but I was kind of half fobbing her off, you know?
Yeah.
And I was in there a couple of weeks, I was like, damn, I'm kind of, this is kind of fun. Like, and I think the good thing about it, as opposed to going to, any martial arts, jits, kickboxing, or like that, like, you know, everyone was on the same plane coming in there. Everyone was like, it was there's housewives there, there's older guys, there's young guys in there, and there was such a mix, and everyone was on the same plane. I was like, okay, I'm not out of my depth here. So everyone is still at rock bottom, everyone was learning. So I kind of stuck it out longer than I expected, and then that longer than I expected lasted a bit longer. Next thing I know, I'm there like 6 days a week, you know, at six in the morning, and then I'm, you know, some days training twice a day. It gets addictive, it's fun, and you're kind of, you know, something I never thought, like you said, I was the last person you'd ever expected. I never even much just picked up a hurley in my whole life, you know.
I think, is this the fourth season of...
This is the fourth Cork, Cork season,
Yeah, and like, I've been involved with all of them, as have you, and one thing that I've kind of taken from every group is kind of the camaraderie between the fighters is what gets people through the camps.
Yeah, very much so. Like I said, it goes back to everyone starting off at the same pace, like, you know, everyone's actually, you know, going in there not having a clue about anything at all. So everyone was kind of learning as well, and we're all kind of helping each other along. And like, we officially finished fight camp, I suppose it was last week. It was last Friday they announced the fights, and then Saturday morning a lot of lads just kind of came in. We just all chilled out and just did a bit of light training. Like, you know, it wasn't official class or anything. So there's a lot of that, and everyone's kind of helping each other along. So there is a lot of that. Like, you know, there's some friends for life we made in there, like, and everyone is... You know, everyone's got each other's back, which is a great thing. Another added bonus to the whole thing, you know?
What have you learned about yourself throughout the whole process?
I think what it was, like I said, I am zero sporting background. You know, I'm the least sporting person you could think of, like, you know? Me walking to a taxi was the most sport I've ever got, like, you know? And I didn't realise I could do it. Like I said, I was only kind of doing a few weeks just to kind of try it out, just to, you know, because I was kind of coaxed into it a little bit. Like, I gave all my excuses, I had no more excuses left, so there is, okay, I can do this. It was because I wasn't there, and I was like, okay, if I push myself, I can do it. And I see another guy, he's doing it, and I was like, this guy was like, you know, he's either older than me or he's heavier than me, and I was like, I have no excuse, like, why can't I do this? And I just kept pushing myself, and as I was pushing myself, I was like, okay, I've hit this goal here, and then another personal goal, and as it was going on, I've noticed my mentality, my attitude, everything changed. Even outside of it, I was kind of a lot, because as you know, the kind of work I do, like working nighttime with the production, yeah. And it's data, it's kind of crazy. It is a very hectic job. And what I found then is, like, I was getting less stressed. It was a case, okay, just chill out and take one bit at a time. So I've noticed my mentality changed as well. Mm. And that was down to the exercise. And I'm the fittest I ever was. I lost about 10 kgs. Like, yeah. So, you know, it's you know, the lightest I've ever been added weight. And, you know, I still could probably lose another bit. But yeah. I think overall, the whole experience, it did change me. It kind of just made, I think it built kind of confidence and focus in there. So, yeah, it's a bit surreal being here 6 months later and, you know, the difference it's made on me, you know?
What aspect of MMA have you enjoyed most? The striking, the grappling, is it the jiu-jitsu?
I think I enjoy the striking, you know, because I think jiu-jitsu is very, it's the way I describe it, I think it's like physical chess.
Yeah.
You know, you think you've got to move at the slightest twitch, and there's a lot of learning there. Like, there's some guys there, like, they could be learning it, like, you know, 50 years and they still won't get a black belt. Yeah. Like, you know, there's so much to it, which is the beauty of it too, which is fun. And I think I might go back to it after Ninja Warrior's finished. But I like the striking because it was instant, it was straight in and out, and again, the cardio side of it as well, which I was kind of chasing at the start just for the fitness, and that was great, you know. So, and the beauty as well about SBG, I think, because this is kind of known as, he's kind of a family gym.
Yeah.
There's none of this kind of the hard lads going in there smacking the shit out of, excuse my language, you know, smacking each other around in there. Everyone was kind of like, you know, you go in there with someone like, say, like the Hulk, who is like, you know, heavyweight world champion of the world at the moment, and he could go in there with a guy that's just first day of the gym, and he'll treat him like an understatement. So it is, he'll bring you along, they'll show you what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong, help you along. So there was no case of, okay, you're in there with the big boys, we're going to throw slaps, prepare to get slapped. There was none of that kind of attitude, which I found great. And then I kind of, you know, that came across, like, you know. So I think the striking then is the reason I like that, because it was like, you know, I tend to turn up more for those classes, and it was just something that kind of appealed to me. Like, there's others in there, again, the jits appeal to them, and the wrestling, so a bit of everything there, really, you know.
How are you fighting next Sunday?
Eric Kelleher's the guy's name, which was kind of a bit of a shock, because we only found out last Friday we were fighting. So, you know, as you're going in there, you're kind of, okay,
last Monday,
you're saucing everyone. I'm like, I'm going against him, I guess him. And I was like, I didn't expect to be against Eric, because, like, he is amazing at the jits, and I think he's got a Muay Thai background as well, and he's, like, you know, he's 25 years of age, a lot taller, man. He's, like, you know, he's the guy is going, like, oh god. And I was like, you know, so again, you know, I just got to go in there and do my thing.
Yeah, best of luck to Ant O'Brien there, and indeed to all the Winter Warrior finalists at the finale next Sunday night at Glen Rovers. Should be a cracking night, as all these Winter Warrior finales are. Best of luck to the fighters. Really looking forward to watching those fights next Sunday night. All right, we're almost out of time on this St. Patrick's Day show. Just one last bit of business, Ciarán, to attend to.
Two bits.
I've
literally just got a text, if you don't mind. We did. We had the interview with Graham Canty on the Kieran O'Connor piece. Well, Cork GAA have just announced that they're going to play, the hurlers are going to play Kilkenny in a benefit match for the Kieran O'Connor Fund on Wednesday, March 27th at 7:30 in Parky Rin. There'll be further details announced next few days.
Brilliant. So that's hopefully sell out of Parky Rin for that game on Wednesday week. Last bit of business, though, on the show is our competition. We need a pair of tickets to give away to the Student Race Day Cork Race Course in Mallow. Money can't buy these tickets. Ciarán and I had the last two pairs to give away. We gave away a pair yesterday. Mm-hmm. We gave away a pair today. We wanted you to work a little bit for this one. We wanted you to tell us why you deserve to go to the Red FM Student Race Day.
Okay, our plea worked small bit.
Standard improved.
Small bit.
There was a standard.
Anyway, going to give it to one person who working non-stop over the last while and hands in a final project and presentation on Thursday morning. The races are for the rest of Thursday. So, Killian Brown in Blarney.
Enjoy that, Killian. Enjoy the racing, and hopefully you have a bit of luck on Thursday at the Red FM Student Race Day. It's going to be a great day at Cork Race Course in Mallow. All right, that's it from us. Our podcast is online in the next couple of minutes. redfm.ie, redextra.ie. It's on iTunes and Spotify as well. Alan Donovan's up next with Green on Red with 3 hours of the best Irish music for your St. Patrick's Sunday evening. We're back next Saturday from 6. Enjoy the rest of your night, folks. Enjoy the bank holiday weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.